We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to episode 575 of the Barcelona Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Dan Hilton, and joining me today to talk all things Paris Saint-Germain is Ed from PSG Talk. I think that's the last time I'm going to try to use the French enunciation for the day. I did take 6 years in middle school and high school of French, but then I cut it out cold turkey, and I remember how to say water and a lot and merci beaucoup and thank you very much, and that's about it. But
that's all you need, really.
Yeah, I don't even apologies. Sorry is, well, s'il vous plaît was please, and I don't remember sorry. What's I'm sorry?
Oh, I'd have to look it up. I am not, as you can tell from my accent, I am not French. I know, you know, je m'appelle Ed and, you know, things like that. But very basic French on my side.
Yeah, so we'll not really be speaking too much French, but we're going to be talking quite a lot about a French club today, as well as the Catalan club in Barcelona, previewing, at least here, we're going to be previewing the PSG side of things with Ed, and then on the Barca side of things, that will be previewed more on the PSG Talk feed, which is your feed over on their feed. So check that out wherever you get your podcasts, and again, who says we all can't play nice? So I appreciate Ed for coming on the show, because I think the first place we begin is with the biggest name in the entire tie and the man who is most well-known on both sidelines, and that's Kylian Mbappe and Luis Enrique. Isolating Luis Enrique first before we kind of mesh those two and their story together, Luis Enrique obviously was, I thought, a really good signing for PSG. He was the kind of big name with a cachet, Champions League winner already, that they needed. Has he been the hire that you wanted him to be in charge of PSG? And where do you actually even, not to go beyond the tie too quickly, but where do you see his future in the coming months or seasons or anything at PSG?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think before the season, when we didn't have a manager, Galtier had left, I think Nagelsmann was the name that everyone wanted. Everyone was like, yes, it felt like it was close at a time. And then all of a sudden that kind of went away. And we're like, well, what do we do? Of course, Zidane is always the diamond that we are always trying to get, but he just doesn't seem, kind of flirts with us, but never seems to get close. So then Luis Enrique's name started popping up, and we're like, okay, well, he's won a Champions League. He's managed Spain. Like, he's got the credentials. So, okay, let's give this a run. Let's see what we can do. And I think with him and Luis Campos are kind of part-time sporting director. I'm not sure exactly what his title is, but he goes out and finds the talent. So between the two of them, they have just completely rebuilt this PSG squad. You know, we've lost Verratti, you know, Neymar, Messi left. And so he's come in and just kind of rebuilt this team with a lot of really young players, Barcola, for example. It just brought in these players, and Luis Enrique has just transformed PSG. The play on the pitch has been far superior than what we've seen under Pochettino and Galtier. It's just been a complete 180, just the style of play. And then here recently, you mentioned Mbappe. For years, we were like, well, Mbappe needs to take a rest. I mean, we can't just keep playing him. Let's give him a rest before a big Champions League game. And then just looking at a stat here, Kylian Mbappe has only played 90 minutes once in his last 7 league games. So Luis Enrique, not only does it come in with the credentials, but he's empowered by our president, Nasser Al-Khelaifi, to say, hey, Mbappe, you're going to rest. You're not going to play. We're going to play you 60 minutes, or you're going to start on the bench, whatever it might be. And for years, we've been wanting that, both with Mbappe and Neymar. They don't have to keep playing because we get to this latter stage of the Champions League and our players are injured in case of Neymar, or they're tired. You know, Mbappe's young, but, you know, you can't keep playing that many minutes. You know, we know what he contributes to the France national team. So Luis Enrique has come in with maybe, you know, fans are kind of excited. And now we are completely bought in to the point where you see a lot of PSG supporters saying, let's extend his contract. Let's keep him here. This is the guy for the job. So we, as PSG supporters, we couldn't be happier with Luis Enrique at this moment.
Well, there is a little bit of tension with Mbappe, of course. I saw that today. It popped up. But it seems like, as you said, the big thing about those two is that he has been emboldened to rest him or sit him in a way that obviously Barcelona fans are very familiar with, the idea that Messi, for all his greatness, good luck being a coach that Messi doesn't support in rotating him or taking him off a full 90. And Mbappe is that level of a star. I mean, he's a generational talent in this era. And I think it's difficult. You know, I don't know. It's one of those things where I don't really overdo when a star gets upset like that, especially with the Kylian Mbappe transfer stuff kind of looming over everything a bit more, where, again, this is just an outside perspective, but I think it says a lot more about Mbappe than it does about Luis Enrique on the sideline, and would worry me about the future. Because, again, how do you feel about Mbappe in this Champions League campaign this season with the Real Madrid transfer stuff? Because obviously, as a Barcelona fan, I would love if he stayed at PSG. That sounds good to me, but it seems like it's, what, 92% to Real Madrid? That's what it feels like.
It's interesting. I think, what did those rumors come out? February, that it was, hey, a done deal. Fabrizio Romano had sent it out, and all the A-list journalists. And so it does feel 90% plus that it is going to happen. He will be a Real Madrid player. It's interesting. I start to wonder who let that information out. I think it was probably Real Madrid, but some people speculate that it was Mbappe's camp. And if so, as a PSG supporter and PSG as an organization, a football club, they can't be happy, because that sort of could completely derail the season when you have all of these rumors. And it's just odd to go on a long Champions League campaign with a player who's negotiating behind the scenes with another club. It's especially as high profile as Mbappe. It's very strange. You know, in terms of the taking Mbappe off the pitch, we saw that how much he does not like it. You mentioned Messi. Mbappe certainly on that level under Tuchel. He would take off Mbappe and the two would get into kind of an argument as he's walking off the pitch. We saw that several times a few seasons ago. We saw against Monaco, Mbappe was taken off. This was one of the first times he was taken off by Luis Enrique. And he, at halftime, just comes out in street clothes and goes and sits in the stands. We saw against Marseille, again, taken off. And you can just see visibly, he's very frustrated. And of course, you want your competitors to want to stay on the pitch. But there's a fine line there where you start to show up the manager. And I might be alone in this. A lot of PSG supporters think, hey, it's no big deal. We love the competitiveness. We love the fire that Mbappe has. Of course, he wants to keep playing. And I'm just like, if you come off the pitch, if you're subbed off, sit with your teammates. You know, don't get in street clothes and go sit next to your mom in the stands. You know, if you get taken off, it's part of the game. You're almost saying, like, the person replacing you, your teammate, isn't good enough to get the job done. And in case of Gonzalo Ramos, we've seen he's come on and replaced Mbappe and scored goals. So clearly he has good teammates who can contribute. I just don't love the visible outshowing of emotion and displeasure when you're taking off. It's part of the game. Every player gets subbed off. And I will say for Mbappe, if he's listening to this, that's probably not going to go down too well at Real Madrid. This just outward showing of, I'm bigger than the club, how dare you take me off kind of attitude. It's not going to go down well at Real Madrid, I would assume.
That's actually a really good point, because, yeah, at Real Madrid, even though they're the Galacticos, the whole idea is that none of their stars are bigger than the club. And I mean, even Vinny Jr., for all of the headlines he gets, he never overshadows the club. Like, he'll make news, but the club can defend him in those ways, right? And it's kind of the noise from the outside. But for all of the, we'll say, character issues that Mbappe is having this year, that is not stopping him from putting up the numbers. The numbers are still there. He scored 24 goals in 26 league appearances this season, 6 in 8 in the Champions League. I don't know if this is the best version of Mbappe that you've seen, but does he look more comfortable without Messi and Neymar now in the team? Does it seem like where he's lined up and where he's finding that space is just really befitting, kind of making it all about him now?
Yeah, I do wonder if things have kind of loosened up. And now he knows he's the man at PSG with Neymar and Messi gone. He knows that this is his team. He also knows this is kind of his swan song, right? This is his last season playing for his hometown club. He might be on a mission. Maybe that's why he does get so upset being taken off, because he wants to do everything in his power to deliver every trophy possible. So things are starting to open up. I also think playing with his good friend and France national team teammate Ousmane Dembele, who you'll be familiar with, I think having him in the starting lineup, I think Warren Zaïre-Emery, just a lot more French talent, Bradley Barcola. I think maybe he's feeling a little bit more comfortable in the squad now. He knows it's his team. He knows what the job at hand. And we have a much, much better manager other than Gaultier with Luis Enrique. So I think he's always wanted, while he's been at PSG, a proper sporting project. And it's a shame that PSG finally delivered that to him in his final season. But let's see what happens. Things that, you know, we've gotten really good luck this season with the draw. You know, if we can get past Barcelona, things are lining up. We don't have to play any of the big heavy hitters over on the other side of the bracket. So things are sort of lining up as they haven't done in past years. So I think that's something to keep your eye on.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you think of great duos, who do you think of? Jordan and Pippen, or LeBron and Dwayne Wade? I mean, I talk about basketball a lot here on this podcast, but for the Barcelona version, there's Piqué and Puyol, or Piqué and Mascherano, or the easy example of Xavi and Iniesta. And as you can hear from my voice, the perfect teammates aren't just professional athletes. It's cold season. I guess the flu and cold medicine, perfect teammates as well. But in this case, when it comes to growing your business, that's you and Shopify. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. To be honest, I've been doing this show long enough, and as I mentioned, it's cold and flu season. You hear it in my voice, especially during the holiday season. So whenever it comes to this business, anything that I can set up and kind of have working in the background that I know and can trust is just plugging along without my attention, those are the things that I really value at this point. So when my brain is foggy and all I can do is manage to turn on the microphone, talk to the guest, or just talk to myself and get out a piece of content, everything else, having that all automated or working in the background, that's been important to keeping me sane. And that's the thing about something like Shopify. What I do love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. So no matter how big or small, how good of a month or how bad of a month, things are just the same working in the background. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is a global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs on every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tbpod, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/tbpod now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/tbpod. Well, you mentioned Dembélé because he's the next one on the docket, of course. Yes, somebody that Barcelona fans are quite familiar with. He hasn't been injured this season. He looks like he's enjoying his football. And I don't want to say what gives, but what have you... It is funny to me where of all the frustrations that Barcelona fans had until the very final day he was at the club. And I think the way in which a lot of Barcelona fans have said, yes, they're missing him, but Lamine Yamal has come in and kind of made you not miss Dembélé, even though he's 16 years old, and that's a whole different thing that Barcelona fans are dealing with. But what do you think, other than, yeah, just being comfortable and speaking French and being with his friends, what have you enjoyed about Dembélé arriving to PSG? There were fears, obviously. You and I talked about that even beforehand, about what the fears were, about that chaos he brings, about what seems to be indecision sometimes. And it just seems like now he's just calm and kind of in his best way.
Yeah, I think the first thing is you're bringing Dembélé back to France, a league that he's familiar with, a city he's familiar with. If I'm not mistaken, he grew up a PSG supporter, so he's going to feel comfortable. He's got Mbappé, as Mbappé is glad to have Dembélé and the other French teammates. I think the same applies for Dembélé. I am shocked. If there's the biggest shock of the season, I am shocked that he hasn't gone down with a hamstring. I mean, I'm knocking on wood here because I don't want it to happen, but PSG's medical team over the years, we've had so many injuries. I mean, Neymar. I mean, every season we would get injuries. We'd have players go down with a hamstring or just a slight knock, and you wouldn't see them for 4 or 5 months. Our medical team, I don't know if they're overcautious or maybe something was amiss. And so this season, I feel like, I don't know if changes were made, but this season, injuries, players are coming back sooner. Nuno Mendes, for example, he was out almost a year. He comes back, and it's almost like he didn't miss a beat, steps right in and plays. So I am very shocked that Dembélé has avoided injury. Our medical team has played, or not played, has done really well with our players and getting them ready. And so with Dembélé, I've just been thrilled with him. He hasn't scored the goals, of course. And I think Barcelona fans will point to that. He's not scoring. But from a creativity point of view, I almost feel like he's this version of Angel Di Maria for us, where he's able to create. You get him the ball one-on-one, there's very few defenders that can stop him. So from that perspective, just a pure playmaker, someone who can get the ball into a dangerous position for Mbappe, for Gonzalo Ramos, and some of our other attackers, he has been everything that PSG fans could have wanted. And the fact he's been able to stay healthy has just been the cherry on top of the sundae there.
Well, of course, when he was leaving, I said that if Barcelona couldn't, as I said, with Lamine Yamal, there's an idea of replacing that. But functionally, for what Xavi wanted to do, the point of Dembélé was never to score the goals. I think there was an expectation that he would grow into that. But that's not the point of him, especially when you have Kylian Mbappe, when you have, you're playing a center striker in, we'll talk about the rest of your strike force in a second here. But when you're talking about Ramos, when you're talking about Colomwani, those guys, their function is to get in the box, get on the end of things. It's why we saw the best version of Dembélé, I think, next to Aubameyang in his time at Barcelona. And it is a very similar thing that I think you're seeing with Colomwani. And again, and Mbappe, he needs space. He can do it himself, but it's also, now he's got his man to set him up, is helpful too. And you know, we're going to talk more about this on your show about, you know, the Barcelona side of things, but I think Barcelona, as far as how to deal with Dembélé, because I think it's a question my listeners would have, I think that De Jong, if he is healthy, which I know they are leaving this quite ambiguous for all the right reasons, but I think if De Jong is healthy to start, it's a good possibility that it would be a double pivot with Christensen next to him. And like he does, it'll shade De Jong over to his left to help Cancelo deal with Dembélé. Because obviously the idea of Cancelo versus Dembélé is something that should give Barcelona fans nightmares, because Cancelo, obviously, he's done well at left back, but he's on his opposite foot. And Dembélé, obviously, 1v1, constantly requires help, constantly requires somebody to slide over. And with Mbappe on the other side, and then a target striker through the middle, Araujo can only be in so many places. And that means that Kubarsi is going to have to, well, continue to have man-of-the-match performances like he did in his Champions League debut last time out. But yeah, working through then your starting unit, scored a goal in the last match in the league yesterday. And I think, or you can say whether or not this gentleman will start, but Gonçalo Ramos, the Portuguese striker, joined from Benfica for a huge number in January, so big expectations, but he has already scored 7 goals since then in a PSG uniform. So seems like he's just a goal scorer, I guess to say, and knows how to put the ball in the back of the net. But what does he deliver that PSG attack?
Yeah, if I can, I would say a little bit Lewandowski, a little bit maybe like a Harry Kane, just your traditional striker. Gonzalo Ramos is always in the right place at the right time. The question has always been this season with PSG is, can he get that service? We really don't have that playmaker up the middle that can pick him out. I mean, if we had Messi in the lineup, I think it'd be great. Messi would break all the assist records, because Gonzalo Ramos is world-class at getting in the box, being in the right position. he's kind of been up and down this season in terms of the playing time that he's able to get. You mentioned the transfer fee from Benfica, but I believe the transfer fee for Randal Kolo Muani was even higher. And so I think there was an emphasis to see if we can get Kolo Muani into the starting attack, get him firing on all cylinders, and then you'd have that French attack of Kolo Muani, Mbappe, and Dembele. And I think that was, at the start of the season, the dream, with maybe Gonçalo Ramos coming in as a substitute, maybe working his way, getting him some experience. But Kolo Muani just has not hit the ground running. And so Gonçalo Ramos has taken that opportunity. He's come in, and when he has played, he has done really well. I don't have the stat up, but his scoring rate per minutes played is pretty impressive. It's one of the best on PSG. And so I think when PSG play Barcelona, it's going to be Gonçalo Ramos in the middle with Mbappe and Dembele on the wings. I think that's probably what you're going to get.
Well, two other guys that could be seen. One will likely not be seen. That's Bradley Barcola, the 21-year-old left winger. Status is up in the air. But what he does, the making the move from Lyon in the offseason, I know PSG got him. There was some, obviously Chelsea were interested in everybody, but I know there was some firm Chelsea interest there, as well as Bayern Munich, but they get him from Lyon. And he's just a left winger, so he can come off the bench, move Mbappe to the middle. You see that a lot. But PSG also get a lot of final product from Vitinha from the midfield. Is he somebody that's going to leave space in behind? Is he just somebody that's getting his goals through late runs in the box? How does he profile?
Vitinha is really an interesting player. He's won a couple of Man of the Match performances in the Champions League. He's a player that I think he came in last year and He didn't jump. He's not a name that you're like, oh my goodness, this is a great player. So PSG supporters were sort of like, okay. But over time, he has proven himself, and he has proved that when he is not in the lineup, as we saw, I believe it was Newcastle when we got absolutely thrashed up there. When he's not in the lineup, we really suffer in the midfield. He's a player that's not afraid to test the keeper from distance. Sometimes it ends up in the 28th row, but sometimes he can score just a world-class goal. I would say that he probably leans more towards an attacking midfield, but he will do the dirty work. He will track back. He will put in a tackle if he needs to. He's sort of a player that you could play really any position in the midfield, and he's so critical to what PSG do. I think Fabian Ruiz is going to be another midfielder that PSG will likely start. I would say he probably gets forward and does more of the creativity. Vitinha maybe a little bit further back. But yeah, Vitinha, he is just, if we didn't have him, I'd be really nervous about the match on Wednesday against Barcelona, because he's just so critical to everything we do.
Speaking of critical and also in that midfield, now, in a lot of these previews, I know that PSG fans might get annoyed at the fact that they're going to be hearing just a ton about how La Masia is this great academy, which it is, and produces all of these future superstars and all that stuff. And a few years ago, I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago, he was 15 when I saw him in the UEFA Youth League, and that is Warren Zahir Emery. He's now 18, so he's getting a little bit older, but he now is a permanent fixture in that PSG midfield. And when you talk about homegrown talent, you and I were talking right before the air. Yeah, obviously, when he was 15, I saw him. I was like, that's one of the better defensive midfielder prospects in world football. A star, the pivot position, it's the one that Barcelona needed. It would have been great. But again, if I'm PSG, I'm throwing the kitchen sink financially at him for his professional contract when he turns 18. Name your price, basically, because he's marketable, being the homegrown talent, and he's the only one that I could possibly think of that it's a fixture and going to be a fixture in that PSG starting lineup. That said, Zahir Emery, what has he not even evolved at, but what makes his game so mature and has not only when he was 16 already had him feature in a first team, but now it's just made him a starter at 18. And you say, hey, the center of our midfield, well, the guy is an 18-year-old kid and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah. A lot of times you play these young kids and over time in Barcelona, you've seen a lot of young kids get a start in a Champions League. You can sort of tell that they're kind of like a deer in headlights when they get out there. That's not the case with Zahir Emery. He gets in there. He does the dirty work. For being so young, his body just physically, you see defenders and opponents just bounce off of him when he has the ball. He's so strong on the ball. And it's unbelievable because he's not, you know, he doesn't look big and bulky, but he's very strong. So I would say just physically, he's able to hold onto the ball in the midfield. What I also like about him is he's so versatile. He can get forward. He can score a goal if you need. He can play defensively. And I think against Barcelona, we're going to see with Hakimi suspended for that one, I think Luis Enrique is going to play him at right back. he can do a good job. I think he'll do a solid job there, but that's not his natural position. So I'm a little bit nervous. But the fact that you can even have that conversation of putting an 18-year-old midfielder at right back and you're not that worried, I think speaks to his skill level and what he can do on the pitch.
If anything, I think that's actually kind of a feather in the cap of Barcelona that he's going to have to be at right back and that you kind of pushed him off to a point. It's the same thing almost with Bayern Munich with Kimmich. And actually, honestly, those players, Thierry-Emery and Kimmich, they remind me a little bit of each other at the surface level, but not only their versatility to be able to play different positions, but yeah, that kind of way they don't look strong. And yet when they're on their game and things are all working, you're like, do they have any weaknesses? And that's, I think that's kind of what I mean. Just these all around midfielders that are midfielder, and you don't see any weaknesses. So unlike Barcelona, though, I have to wear on your edition of the show, we might already be done talking about stars and dangerous players. But for PSG, of course, an assortment of riches is on your bench in the starting lineup. We haven't talked yet about Carlos Soler and Manuel Ugarte, who would probably walk into Barca starting 11, but probably won't be starters for PSG on Wednesday. Same with Marco Asensio and Kang In Lee, who was a great pickup as well. I was excited to see him. Well, I was excited to see if he could make it. And I'm glad that he's been able to make it. And then, as you said, you already mentioned Colomwani in attack or Ramos. And then at center back, Marquinhos has not been healthy this season or the last few seasons, but he was on the bench yesterday. And Kimpembe seems to be like he's out and will not be here for around a while. And then there's Skriniar at center back as well. And then the Brazilian revelation in Lucas Beraldo, another young player coming over from Brazil. And then defensive midfielder Danilo Pereira has also started at the back line there as well. So basically all I'm saying, not really a question other than the fact that there is, on paper at least, that's kind of how PSG is, right? There's just a lot of names. There's always a lot of names. And of those names, because Barcelona fans just know the names, who has been really impressive this season and who maybe isn't necessarily living up to that reputation on paper in the name that you're hearing?
Yeah, Lucas Hernandez is a player. When we signed him, I probably could go back and find some tweets. I wasn't too thrilled about it. I was like, he's a little bit older. He's also coming off an injury, a pretty significant knee injury. Born in Marseille, as you know, PSG Marseille rival. So I was like, I just don't know about that one. But he has, I don't know where PSG would be without him. He has played stellar at left back with Nuno Mendes still recovering from injury for the majority of the season. He's had to play center back at times as well. So again, the medical staff, credit to them. They've been able to keep him healthy, playing well. So Lucas Hernandez, been a great signing, really happy with him. Lucas Beraldo, like you said, from Brazil, he came in January, never played in the Champions League, and Luis Enrique is putting him out there. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. And the guy just, it's as if he's played in 30 Champions League matches. I mean, he has not skipped a beat. He came in, he's kind of, I would say the defensive unit at PSG is probably the weakest, and he has stepped in. And if he wasn't at the level that he was able to play at from day one, I'm not sure we're at this stage right now. I think Real Sociedad probably beat us. That's just a credit to Lucas Beraldo and what he's been able to do, because Skriniar's been injured. You mentioned Marquinhos, Nuno Mendes again is injured. Nordi Mukiele yesterday against Clermont gets a concussion. I don't know if he's going to be available. So, you know, and then I think you asked like who's been a disappointment. I would have to probably go with Skriniar. The injury, and I probably should have known this, but he is so incredibly slow. Against some faster attackers coming at him, he just stands no chance to stop them. What he's good at is physicality, aerial duels, that sort of thing. But I think that's something opponents can work around and they could find ways to exploit him. And we've seen it this season. So Skriniar, probably not as high on him. Beraldo, I couldn't be any more higher on him. And Lucas Hernandez has been a great signing. But definitely for Barcelona supporters out there listening, our defense is going to be moved around. We're going to have players, Warren Zaïre-Emery at right back, Lucas Hernandez probably on the left. We might have to play Danilo somewhere, maybe in the midfield instead of at center back. So Luis Enrique is going to have a puzzle to put together here defensively.
Yeah, I find that Skriniar is interesting because then watching Inter Milan and how excited people have been about them this season, it is almost addition by subtraction without him, because this year their center backs in particular playing in that back three have been so overtly dynamic. It's like that the whole buzz is about how dynamic their center backs have been. So it's been interesting seeing that Skriniar leaves and then all of a sudden now we're talking about Inter Milan center backs and we considered him such a high quality player. Now, one of the other players, this kind of last individual player I'll ask you about, and then we'll just kind of go over the big, broad PSG ideas. Fabian Ruiz, who, again, La Liga fans know pretty well for all of his time in Spain. I have heard some frustration about him in the PSG corners and kind of the same arguments that Napoli fans had about him, about why we're fine if he goes to PSG, or please overpay for him. Same thing with Barcelona, where even at 35, I was like, I don't know if he's worth 35 mil or 45 on the transfer market, you know, having seen what I saw him at Napoli than Real Betis before that. But do you think PSG fans are being a little too harsh on him, or do you think that criticism is fair?
I think it was fair initially. It took a little time for him to get settled. But I would say recently, with some of his performances, and I would say really just with Luis Enrique, maybe Luis Enrique knew how to unlock his potential. But I would say when it comes to PSG's midfield, he's, along with Warren Zaire-Emery, when he's able to play in the midfield, I think Fabian Ruiz is right up there along with Vitinha. I think he is a member of our of PSG's best midfield that we have possible that we can play. I think a lot of fans, especially at the start of the season, we were really excited about Manuel Ugarte, just a really physical midfielder. But he doesn't have that on-the-ball skills that Fabian Ruiz has. He doesn't have that creativity. So is Fabian Ruiz maybe PSG supporters' dream midfielder, creative midfielder? Probably not. But something under Luis Enrique, he's unlocked his potential. And Fabian Ruiz, he's had some really solid performances. And I think you'll definitely see him in the starting lineup on Wednesday. And I don't think there's going to be too many PSG supporters upset about that. I think we feel pretty confident. He knows his role. And I think alongside Vitinha, and I think probably it's going to be Danilo potentially, he's going to be in charge of feeding Gonzalo Ramos plenty of balls so he can get into danger positions and score. So I think Fabian Ruiz is going to be a critical part of the game on Wednesday.
Okay, well, I do get to go a little bit around the track on just a small victory lap about Ugarte, because when I was doing the Busquets profile stuff, even 2 years ago, when he was kind of breaking out at Sporting CP, I had said, or I didn't profile him. And there were people in my comments who yelled at me and said, why aren't you profiling him? And I said, well, especially for his price, Portuguese clubs, you know, Benfica, Sporting CP, they asked for big money. They asked for more than 40, 50, 60. And I had said, wasn't that impressed with him on the ball. I wasn't convinced by it. And yeah, I got it right. So I just, my little mini victory lap. Now, the other half of that is that Busquets, in theory, the defensive midfield spot, the pivot spot at Barcelona, as we'll talk about on your show, has yet to be filled. So it's not like I'm not full two arms excited about the victory lap. But the reason I didn't go for Ugarte is exactly what PSG fans are saying. Now, next question about kind of the scary one for Barcelona fans. The question really is, when are PSG at their most dangerous? But I do add the caveat that if you could try to answer this more the X's and O's and less about, well, Kylian Mbappe is Kylian Mbappe and Dembele, right? I get it. If Dembele is really great and requires a double team all afternoon, all evening, and Mbappe obviously is Mbappe for even 10 minutes of a 90 minutes, then yes, of course, then PSG are at the most dangerous. But we're talking about the starting 11, the total 11, the ideas that Luis Enrique imparts to his team that they do and keep their promise of doing. When are PSG at their most dangerous?
I'll start with where they're not the most dangerous, and this has been an ongoing joke, is that on set pieces, corner kicks, that sort of thing, PSG never scores. I don't know if we practice them. I don't know what PSG are doing, but we just, less than five goals, I would say, and the chances created are almost nil. We're just not a set piece team. We're just not. When PSG are most dangerous, I'll do my best with the X's and O's. I think, you know, Luis Enrique loves to have possession of the ball. So I think if PSG can control the midfield, which is going to be difficult without Zaire Emery, he's going to probably be at right back. But if PSG can maintain possession and look for those channels where they can feed Mbappe into space, I think that's when they're most dangerous. And I don't think they'll do this because they're going to be at home. And I think Luis Enrique is going to want the team to get forward. But I think counterattacking, there was a couple games ago where PSG, they showed their ability to hit out on the counter. And when you have that kind of speed between Dembele and Mbappe on the wings, it's almost unfair to have a counterattacking type of style. So I would say that's probably when PSG are absolutely at their best, when they can counter. But I think on Wednesday, I think what they're probably going to do is try to keep possession and Mbappe just make those runs and Dembele make those runs and get Dembele the ball out on the wing and have him beat his defender. I think you're going to see a lot of one-on-one play, which maybe isn't what Luis Enrique would want, but I think just with the players he has, especially in Mbappe, I think you just got to have to let the players do what they do best. And so, and with a makeshift midfield and your defense, I think it's going to be very attack heavy. And so look for PSG to get forward at home and feed Mbappe and maybe hit out on the counter. If they can get up a goal, maybe they sit back and then they launch that counterattack. So I think that's what you can expect on the match.
Well, yeah, thinking back to the Real Sociedad matches, it's interesting that I think both Barcelona and PSG, when we're talking about, we'll say, the bigger sides in world football, they both have a reputation, I think, this season at least, of fans say, oh, they're a possession-based team or positional play, all these different things. Because again, Luis Enrique, it's Xavi. But then you look at the possession stats and you're like, wait a second, this is 48% or this is 52%. And you realize that for large swaths of the game, neither team has control. And I think this tie is kind of shaping up to be that, where whatever team takes control for 35 minutes in the match is going to win that tie. Maybe they won't win. I mean, not the tie, sorry, win that individual match. They may not win the tie, but you're going to have these 10 minute stretches where it just looks like chaos or they're reeling and all these things. And I know I kind of already answered this next part of it, but as you said about set pieces as well, struggling, why have PSG struggled in the rare moments, like against Real Sociedad, that they have struggled this season?
Complacency. I think some people can point to the league. I mean, we talk about possession when they play Ligue 1, we play Clermont, who are bottom of the table. They get all the possession that they want. But in the Champions League, it's a different story. It's a different to go from playing Monaco and then going up to Newcastle. The environment is different. I think that's probably the biggest thing. When PSG went to Newcastle, they got battered. When they went to AC Milan, they lost. I think it was actually their last loss back in early November. They go to Dortmund. They're fortunate to get a draw to advance to the knockout stage. So I just think you have a lot of young players, inexperienced players at PSG. Again, this is sort of a rebuild year. And when they get on the big stage, the bright lights, opposing crowd, I think that that can have effect on them. Mbappe, not really. He's used to it. Dembele, he's used to it. And fortunately, this season, we've had bright moments. Barcola against Real Sociedad at PSG, or at the Parc des Princes, he had an incredible goal. It was almost Mbappe-esque. So we've been able to get some really nice performances kind of here and there. But overall, I would say they really struggle on the road. So I'm really concerned about that second leg going to Barcelona. If we don't have a healthy enough lead, we've seen PSG collapse there in Spain before. So it's definitely still a concern of mine.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, you mentioned 10 points up in the league on a table, so not the biggest focus. But since Barcelona's last game against Las Palmas now, PSG have beaten Marseille and today drew against, as you said, bottom of the table, Clermont-Foot, with a heavily rotated squad in the league. And you'd beaten last week Rennes in the semis of the Coupe de France. So with three matches for PSG, all taking place in between the last match for Barcelona, is there any concern about this first leg on Wednesday, or is that still enough time based on the rotated squad?
I think it's enough time. I think the players that needed to play just a little bit, just to keep their fitness, I think they did get a chance to play, like Mbappe against Clermont. You know, PSG were kind of outplayed. I think a draw is a fair result there against the bottom of the table league on the side, Clermont. I think that going to Marseille, and your listeners may not know, but maybe pull up the highlights. I mean, that the crowd there, as I just talked about, the atmosphere, I think that was great preparation for the battle that they're about to head into against Barcelona. Because the Marseille supporters, there's no love lost there. I mean, PSG supporters aren't even allowed to travel there. That gives you an idea of how hostile that environment can be. Fireworks shooting off. And PSG, they even got a red card, but PSG managed to win 2-0, down a man. They were able to score goals. So I thought facing that adversity, battling on the road against the rival, that for Ligue 1, that is about as good a preparation you can get for a quarterfinal Champions League tie. So I love that we had that. And then Rennes in the semifinal of the Coupe de France. This is a trophy PSG haven't won for 2 years. Messi has never won the Coupe de France. I put that in his Wikipedia. So that was a big match at home for PSG. Rennes seemed to always have PSG's number, and they were able to get a 1-0 victory there. So I thought that was really good in this preparation. And then again, against Clermont, PSG were able to rest several players. So I feel like PSG have gotten the experience. They're in form. Players are rested. Players are as healthy as they're going to get. So I feel really confident going into Wednesday that this team is as prepared as they possibly could.
Yeah. I mean, having seen Marseille this season, I have not been impressed. But as you say, the rivalry and, you know, getting up for those matches, same reason why Barcelona-Espanyol was always interesting or more interesting than it needed to be. But Espanyol's worse than Marseille. I don't want to throw shade at Marseille. All right, last two quick things here. We kind of went over the entire squad for PSG, but if you were to pick the starting 11, and you've kind of already mentioned a lot of the pieces, but if you were to pick the starting 11 that you think Luis Enrique is going to choose for the Parc des Princes on Wednesday, what is that starting 11?
Well, in goal is going to be Gianluigi Donnarumma. And you didn't ask me about him, but I just got to say for your listeners, he is in the form of his life right now. He's still not great with the ball at his feet. He's not going to just spray long balls and launch PSG attacks. But he, I would say, if he's not one, he's maybe number two in terms of just pure shot blockers in Europe. He's a fantastic player. Got off to a rocky start, but he is in the form of his life right now. So easy choice for Luis Enrique. Put him in goal. And then defensively,
Arnaud Tanas, you know, the former Barcelona third keeper, is the backup, got a start yesterday against Clermont Foot. So, I mean, I love me some Arnaud Tanas, but yes, of course, it's Donnarumma.
And Tanas early in the season when Donnarumma was struggling, I was like, hey, should we give this new signing a chance? And I think he did get an opportunity, but Donnarumma, to his credit, has overcome that and restored his place as starting goalkeeper. Okay, so Marquinhos, if he's healthy, I think he's at center back. Beraldo probably right next to him, so we'll have the Brazilian center back duo there. Left back is probably going to be Lucas Hernandez. Right back with Hakimi suspended, I think that's where we're going to see Warren Zaire-Emery. Could be wrong there, but we don't have a lot of choices. Nordi Mukiele getting the concussion yesterday. Maybe he's cleared, then maybe he could play right back, but that I still would think Warren Zaire-Emery would get that starting right back position. Midfield, we talked about Fabian Ruiz. I think he'll be in midfield. Vitinha will be there as well. And then they'll play sort of in front of, I think it's going to be Danilo. I think Danilo Pereira will probably be our defensive midfielder. Maybe Ugarte. I don't know. Maybe he shows something in training and he comes in potentially. We'll have to see. But I think it's going to be Vitinha, Fabian Ruiz, and Danilo is your midfield. And then in attack, I think it's going to be, shocker, Kylian Mbappe on the left wing, Gonzalo Ramos as a striker, and Ousmane Dembele on the right wing. I think that's going to be your starting attack. I think Bradley Barcola will be on the bench. He's come back. He's in training. You never know with hamstring injuries. So he may come on in the second half if we need a goal or someone, there's an injury, he could come in. But I think he will be available.
All right, and then last question before we kind of head over to your feed for PSG talk. It's my least favorite question, but the listeners, it's their favorite. Score prediction for leg one in Paris.
Sure. It's rare for PSG not to score at home in the Champions League. It rarely happens. So I'm going to say they score two. We'll get Dembele and Mbappe with a goal. And I think Barcelona, they've got some talent. So I think they're going to get one too. So I'm going to say 2-1 to PSG. And I'm not going to feel good about that return leg in Barcelona. So it'll be all up for grabs there. But 2-1 to PSG.
I actually agree with that prediction. That was actually the one I was going to say as well. I know I get in trouble, especially with Barca fans, when I say the other team is going to win a game. But I think in Paris, 2-1, which obviously there's one word that's going to keep coming up. What is it, though? Rivitana, right. And so like that'll just keep coming up. And I think for the narratives and all that stuff and Sergio Roberto in the news, and I bet we bring up that name on your edition of the show, which, again, you can find Ed on Twitter, PSG Talk. Again, for all the previews and stuff before this match and after this match and between this tie, as well as, again, Instagram, all those other places for him. But again, go over to the feed, because then we're going to be talking to Barcelona parts of this. And then for us as well, I want to thank all the Patreons. We got some new Patreons this week as well, and I've enjoyed being able to put up the list now here on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. So thanks to all the new and old Patreons as well. Close Facebook group, Discord, those are the places where the community is, as well as finding us, the Barcelona Podcast, Twitter, and Instagram. Of course, so a good rating for both of these shows on the podcast app and subscribing to the YouTube channel, always a big help. Most importantly, though, thanks so much for listening to the show. Until next time, talk to you soon. And Forza Barca.